What's up? It's the Brunch Breakdown. Didi out here in Los Angeles. Dan is in Pittsburgh, and Chris is in Pittsburgh too, but he's not with us. Hey, family comes first, even though we're family. So yeah. I guess your kids come first. Is that
bloodline?
Okay.
Bloodline. Maybe. Kids. Yeah.
Yeah, kids come
direct
first.
Direct descendants.
But does Katie come first? Now, if it were Katie that he had to miss for, I'd be a little offended. Because that's not bloodline. I'm like, yeah.
That's
like,
true.
You know, like, they have sex
legally,
and stuff,
yeah.
But like,
through the state, yes. But,
yeah.
I mean, the brotherhood here is far beyond state.
Exactly.
What the state, you know, acknowledges us by. So,
yeah.
They have to, yeah. That may be where a line gets drawn. I hope he would do the same.
Exactly. Like, he's known Katie since, like, I don't know, like 2014. Like, I've known Chris since like 2006. Yep. You've known him longer than that.
Long time.
Just saying.
Fifth grade.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. We have some precedence over seniority with him in that instance. But I suppose since the kids are labeled as a dependent on his tax forms, then maybe that's where it gets. Yeah, are they dependent on the tax forms? Then yes, understood. But if not, boys come first. Boys of brunch.
Well, Chris will be back with us next week. And today on the show, RIP OJ. You could argue that the Brunch Breakdown wouldn't exist without OJ. And we're going to talk about OJ very briefly on this show. The Masters are going down right now. And there's a lot of food topics to go with the Masters. We've got the winner's menu for the following year of the Masters. And why the food menu is very expensive at the Masters, and we're going to be talking about that too. We may give you a Shohei Ohtani update, because that story is getting more ridiculous, and no doubt reunited at Coachella, and it was awesome. So we're going to be talking about bands or artists or whomever that we want to get back together. Dan, this is gonna be a fun show. Let everybody know they can find it.
Absolutely. Anywhere podcasts are available, you can find the Brunch Breakdown, because new episodes come your way every week. So follow, subscribe, and it comes right to you. It's that plain and simple, okay? Anywhere you find podcasts, we're there. Every Wednesday, new episodes. Leave us a review while you're there. Share the podcast while you're there with your friends, family, and loved ones. We so greatly appreciate it. Full video episodes available on our YouTube page, our Facebook page, and also on Spotify. The video is right there. Go click right to the audio. Video is right there on Spotify as well. That shows up noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. On demand anytime you want to watch after that. Everywhere on social media, at Brunch Breakdown, Facebook, X, Instagram, Threads, Triller, TikTok, whatever. We're there at Brunch Breakdown. And then, of course, yes, as we close every show with music, we put that together in a beautiful little playlist and update it exclusively on Spotify. And we call that The Sounds of Brunch. So we're going to give you what we're listening to this week. We're going to keep last week's on there so you can jam out for a little while and enjoy The Sounds of Brunch.
Damn right. Well, let's get this show started like we always do by getting random topics off of our chest. Dan, get it off your chest.
Didi, this is your warning.
Uh-oh.
And I don't mean you. I mean you and the general public of this country. This is the warning that we have asked for. We don't want it, but we want the warning. I am giving you this warning. Boston Market is in some serious trouble. It's in some serious trouble. Okay? At one point, they had over 1,200 locations. Didi, they are down to 27 Boston Market locations as we sit here today.
27?
Okay? 27. That's it. Okay? We've talked about some big name brands that we've lost over the years on this very podcast, whether it be Bed Bath & Beyond, Toys R Us, Blockbuster, and restaurants in particular, right? We've begged and pleaded for those restaurants, big name brands or local establishments. We've begged and pleaded, warn us when you are close to failing, right? Please. Give us a chance to get that one favorite meal, that one favorite drink, just at least one more time. Let us know. We'll be there to support. Maybe it's a chance to save you. If not, something, anything, just give us that one last chance. Let us know. It's troublesome. And I can tell you with confidence, Boston Market is close to failing. So if you or any listeners out there love that delicious rotisserie chicken and that incredible cornbread as much as I do, get to your local Boston Market where available still very fast. Because yes, that might be harder than you think if they're down to 27. They had 300 at the beginning of last year, 2023. So again, we had a 1,200 at the high, 300 maybe 15 months ago, and down to 27. So it's nearly over. Sad days are here. If you can, get to Boston Market one final time. It was always a great choice for a fast, but not fast food meal. It was the beginning of kind of fast casual, even though the food was kind of ready, right? It was a quality meal. It's a quality meal. And friends, Boston Market, formerly known as Boston Chicken, if you remember that way back, they were Boston Chicken before they changed their name to Boston Market. A little fun fact for you. They will be missed, and soon they will be gone. This is your warning.
So it's funny you mention this, because like while you're saying it, I'm thinking about Boston Market, and I'm like, in every place I have lived in Los Angeles, there was a Boston Market in my neighborhood when we first started living there.
Okay.
And now they're gone. So like I lived in Burbank for a while. There used to be two in Burbank. By the time I left Burbank, which I live most of the time here, like they were both gone. And then there was one in Sherman Oaks where we lived, and then it was gone by the time we moved out of there. And then there was one where we live now, and now it's gone and replaced. So, and that's within, it's like all within, like, you know, it's been a 9-year decline. It's just been like, they've just been closing. And it's like, and it's kind of funny how present Boston Markets were. And now it's like, there's just something else in those buildings.
They're dropping like flies. Man. They're going quick. And for that, that count to drop that quickly from 300 to 27 in that just many months. If you're near one of the final 27, shout us out. Let us know at Brunch Breakdown. We need to know what city you're in. We want selfies with Boston Market. Get that delicious chicken, turkey, the gravy, the cornbread. Drink it in. Enjoy it while you can.
Oh, man. Damn. Boston Market. First, we were talking about Outback. They're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Dude, it's tough out here.
Struggle out there right now. It's a struggle
out here.
Good God. But at least we know. This is your warning.
We know.
Trying to do our part here. Right. Let everybody know before they're gone.
Dude, go get those Boston Market sides, man. Go get them.
Yeah, load them up.
Load them up. Jeez. Oh, man. All right, I got to get this off my chest. As we talked last week, me and you went to a bunch of Coachellas. We aren't going this week. We're not going this year. Probably done going to Coachella for a while anyways, probably until I have to chaperone my children going to Coachella. I am very annoyed with the entire internet saying Coachella's dead. I'm very annoyed with this. And mainly because... it's all because it took forever. It took 27 days or something to sell out the first weekend, and you could still get tickets for the second weekend or whatever. And I'm like, how's every other festival doing? If this one, the world's biggest and still the world's most talked about, because there was no shortage of places talking about Coachella this weekend, right? So I looked that up, and every festival is doing terrible. Every festivals that didn't give single day tickets are now selling single day tickets. One thing that Coachella doesn't do or doesn't do yet anyways. So all these festivals have all these single day tickets, single weekend tickets, not selling out. You can still go get tickets. You can do the payment plan up to like 2 months before the festival starts. And no one's saying those festivals are dead. The thing is, there's just too many freaking festivals. There's too many. That's the whole thing. There's too many. So like, no, you don't. So if you have a festival that's closer to you, like, I don't know, if you live somewhere in the South or something like that, there's a couple festivals down there, or three or four festivals that you can go to down there. You do not have to make the trek to Coachella to do that anymore. It used to be something that you had to go from coast to coast, or go from this way to the South, or go overseas or whatever. No, you don't have to do that anymore. There are way too many festivals. That's just one big thing. But Also, I think a lot of people are just hate. A lot of people are really just hate. Because it's like, okay, Coachella has, okay, they have a lineup that not a lot of people like. They've got ticket sales are slow. And then all of a sudden, it was like every single news outlet. Is Coachella dead? Is it over? Did it lose its shine? Do they need a rebrand? And I'm like, what are you guys going to say next year? Because, like, this festival is not going anywhere. Like, it's not. Like, it's not going anywhere. Like, it's going to be there. It's going to happen. Like, are you going to just continue to just say, this festival's dead, this festival's dead, this festival's dead, and think that that's cool? It's like, I don't get it. And I think it really messes, and I hope that no one who's going to the festival cares about any of this that are said. Because there's a lot of people who aren't going to the festival talking about the festival. And I'm just like, dude, Coachella's a good time and a good vibe, and it's always good. You go with your right people, go with your friends, and it's fun. And it doesn't matter what festival you go to. So don't let people, you know, discourage you when it comes to going to Coachella or any other festival that is dying. Just go have fun, good vibes with your friends, listen to music, and don't care about the people who are sitting on their couch blogging about how the festival you're at and having the best time of your life is dead. Just, it was very a lot. It was a lot this weekend. I was very annoyed with all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they heard that the first 5 years that Coachella was being put on as well, right? The post, there was that was it. That was it. One time, second time, not going to make it. Not going to happen. I mean, it's the greatest festival in the United States. Period. End of story.
Yeah.
It's not going anywhere. It's not going to go anywhere. Could you be disappointed? You know, depending on your taste, do you like the lineup more or less than other years? Sure. Sure. But don't worry.
Yeah.
Not going anywhere. And ease up on the hate.
Yeah,
people.
It just got over the top.
A little too contagious.
It was like, all right, guys, let's chill out. Let's chill out for a second. Oh man, well, let's get into some brews, and you know, I'll get it started because I did something. I made a spicy margarita last night because I was watching No Doubt set on the Coachella live stream, and I really miss my overpriced spicy margarita that I used to have in the alcohol area at Coachella last night. And I just needed it. So I made one. And yeah, man, I'm sad. But shouts to spicy margaritas. I'm sad. That's what I got.
That's rough. I know we checked in on you last week before everything started, but I can tell doing a temperature check here, it's been a rough couple days.
It was fine until I saw that. I was like, oh, what time is No Doubt on? It's like, oh, 9:20 or something. I thought I missed it. I thought it was like during the, I didn't know if it was like early, like, you know, early evening or something like that. But no, it was like 9:20. And I was like, oh, let me turn this on. And we're going to talk about this later, but it was.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And then it made me go get some jalapeno tequila out of the cupboard and freaking make a spicy margarita and just be sad. I literally did everything but put on a jersey last night on my couch. Like, literally. Everything but. But that's what I was sipping on. What do you got, Dan?
It was a specific type of beer for me this weekend. I don't have one with me now because you'll understand here in a moment. Didi, are you familiar? I know, I'm sure you are familiar with a Kolsch style beer. Yes.
Yeah.
Kolsch style, right?
Yeah.
Originates from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Very light, crisp, but not like, you know, Miller Lite. That's not what I mean by light. It's refreshing, very flavorful. It's like actually like a hybrid between like a lager and an ale. And it has to do with the fermenting of the ale yeast and then finishes at a cold temperature. It's really great style of beer. And what they do in Germany and places in the United States that honor this is a Kolsch service. Are you familiar with Kolsch service? Where they will start you off with, they'll give you a coaster. They'll start you with one Kolsch, and then they'll come around with this kind of tray with a big handle in the middle of it. And the tray holds maybe 8-10 Kolsches, which are usually like served in kind of a tall, thinner style glass. and they'll come around. And when you're ready for another one, they just take your empty, give you a new one off the tray, and then give you a little dash on your coaster. And this repeats as much as you want, over and over and over. Dash, dash, Kolsch, Kolsch. And one of the breweries in Pittsburgh did Kolsch service this past weekend. And boy, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And you can crush Kolsch's. It's a low ABV. Like I said, clean, easy drinking beer. Very cold, very nice. And so the 11th Hour Brewing in Pittsburgh had their Kolsch labeled Archer, which Archer is the name of the dog mascot of the brewery. And it was Archer's birthday this past weekend. We were celebrating Three Rivers Beer Week and Archer's birthday with Archer's Kolsch service. I'll just say between my wife and I, we put up a nice tally on the coasters for Kolsch service this weekend. So cheers and happy birthday to Archer, and just a great underappreciated style of beer.
Beautiful. I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Kolsch.
Good time.
Like it.
Kolsch. Yeah.
Like it. By the way, 21 Seeds Cucumber Jalapeno Tequila is what I was drinking. I got sidetracked thinking about other things emotions got in the way. Forgot to tell you guys exactly what tequila I was drinking last night, but that's it. And it is absolutely delicious. So if somebody likes tequila, likes a little spicy margarita, doesn't like, and like me, I'm always trying to find ways to do less work while making drinks and making them taste at least somewhat. But yeah, the 21 Seeds Jalapeno Tequila can, make you make a spicy margarita very fast. Very fast. Little work. It's just really good. It's really, really good. So, yeah. So love check it. That out. Well, cheers, Dan.
Cheers.
Cheers. All righty. Well, let's get into the main menu. Let's get it started here. OJ Simpson is now dead. Passed away, cancer battle. And OJ, complicated man, complicated figure, to say the least. And we are people who were born in the 80s, so in the late 80s. So OJ to us is the trial and all of the ridiculousness that comes out after that. And so for those who are new to the Brunch Breakdown, way back in the day, in the early editions of the Brunch Breakdown, we were transfixed by all things OJ coverage because the year we started the pod, was like the anniversary of, was it the 20th anniversary of the Bronco Chase? So that's when the FX series came out, the 30 for 30 came out, like all this OJ coverage, and we were obsessed with it. And so, honestly, you could say anyone who listened to the Brunch Breakdown back in the day and knows and still listens to us now, you probably started to enjoy the show because of OJ Simpson. So it's kind of wild that I was like, damn, OJ's dead. He means so much to me. Yeah.
We've referenced the juice quite a bit on this podcast, maybe more than any other figure.
It's possible, perhaps. Dude. It's very
it
possible.
Wasn't, yeah, it did. It jump-started the first edition of the Brunch Breakdown podcast back in the day. The FX series was so good. And we literally broke it down when it was appointment viewing, because it was on television.
Yeah.
Week by week, we broke down every episode for, I don't know, 10 weeks, whatever it was. And it was just freaking awesome. That's such a great series. I like want to go back and watch it. I'm sure it's streaming somewhere now. It was part of what ignited this this podcast, and naturally, the juice became rather Twitter famous over the past 10 or so years, getting himself into some other trouble here and then, and just continued to say some of the weirdest, wackiest shit that you could imagine anybody saying. And then boom, it was out of nowhere last week, right? Yeah. It was just all of a sudden news you didn't expect to hear now that he was gone. Just like that. Yeah, very controversial figure to say the least.
Well, he'll be brunching somewhere in You know, somewhere, depending on
your eyes just looked up and you immediately knew you were looking in the wrong direction.
Yeah. He'll be
You're like, wait a minute, maybe this is an eye roll.
Yeah.
Do you think, is anything going to change now? Like, does somebody else close to OJ know something or was told something behind closed doors and one day, maybe on their deathbed, something comes out? And then it's going to be, you know, he said, she said, then at that point, right? Who do you believe? But you wonder if anybody even tries to make money off of this, which is sick in a way, but just makes you wonder if anybody else close to him, you know, knew anything or was told anything. I mean, damn, he wrote a book called If I Did It, right? So can't rule anything out at this point.
Oh, man. You know, I haven't thought about that. But maybe somebody does know something. Maybe he told somebody on his deathbed something. And then in like a year or something, some weird thing will come out from something that was in like a, I don't know, some safe somewhere or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, who knows? I never thought about that. But
yeah,
that could get interesting, especially when we'll be coming up on the 30-year anniversary of the chase very soon. So, yeah.
So my story may not be over. The story may not quite be over.
Might not be. That'd be wild. Just left some breadcrumbs for everybody to keep talking about them. you know, one thing that did change is that I saw more O.J. Simpson football highlights over the past few days than I have in my entire life. Like, I've been on this planet for almost 40 years, and I have not seen that many O.J. Simpson highlights. Because when you talk O.J., it's trial. It's trial. It is not, or O.J. was an actor, O.J. was a sportscaster, all these things. And it's like the football part just gets thrown off to the side because O.J. is such a ridiculous human being. So it's wild to just see so many football highlights. And you're like, damn, dude, now I see why this was so hard for people, because freaking this guy was incredible. Because not too many highlights from like before 1990 or whatever really jump off the page of the NFL. Kind of looks like one guy's fast, one guy's slow. But holy shit, watch some O.J. Simpson football highlights, guys. Gotta tell you, if your dad told you it was rough for him in 1995, I understand it now, because Jesus, like, he looks like it's incredible. I've watched so many OJ highlights over the last couple of days. So I guess now it's okay to talk about him being good at football because he's dead, because you couldn't do that before.
Right.
Goddamn.
And and even going back to his days in college, right? He was a phenomenal star in college. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of people that had that success carrying over from college to the NFL quite on like equal footing. You know, there's either a drop off or an extreme increase in what happens, but OJ's just continued to kick ass through those years. And yeah, it's weird. I don't think a lot of people know how to react and how to look back on his football career still at this point. It's going to be one of those anomalies that you just don't know how to, like, you want to appreciate the athlete and what he did and the records he broke, and he's still in, you know, a lot of, you know, whether halls of fame, halls of honor, things like that, those aren't going away now. No. But did you see the news story that the executor of his estate, which I think is his attorney, is working to fight the $32 million that he still owes to Ron and Nicole's families?
You can't be serious.
Dead serious. That he still hadn't been paying them when he lost the civil suit.
Yeah.
And that he'd been battling that, not paying, and he hadn't. He still owes him $32 million, and his lawyer, the executor of his will, is going to continue to battle that they won't get a dime now. And it's, so again, the story continues. It's wild. I know, I couldn't believe it when I read that headline. I couldn't believe it.
Because it is interesting, because it was like OJ was, you know, because they even said it in the ESPN, the Made in America that was like OJ was like broke, but a lot of people were like, yep, OJ's not broke. We all know OJ's right. not broke. So he basically had to pay the Goldman family like nothing, basically, over these past years or whatever. Mm-hmm. And but there's going to be an OJ like movie. There's going to be a lot of money that comes from the OJ estate. So that's going to get really interesting, because there's going to be a lot of stuff that comes with OJ's name here soon. Like, it's going to happen. And for sure. That's going to be, oh boy. Yeah. Oh boy.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned.
Good Lord. All right. Well, peace out, OJ.
Goodbye, Twitter.
Like, that's what his family should have said in their statement. Goodbye, Twitter. Oh, God. All right. Daniel, Masters.
Yes. Happened.
Best part about the Masters, I'm finding out, is the food situation. So let's break out this menu for spectators of the Masters. Let's break this out right now, because I am interested. So, found this meme. You got $20. What are you going for? First thought, why is everything so cheap at the Masters?
That's just been known to be a thing, that they keep prices low for concessions because of how much it costs to get in there.
Oh.
So it's a very respectable move for Augusta National to continue to keep concession prices so low, because they know how much it costs people to get there and get in there. And so, like, tip of the hat that they haven't nudged on that. And this is, the most expensive thing in here is $6 for wine. And for food, it's $3 for some sandwiches.
That is insane.
Crazy.
Like, crazy. That is absolutely insane. When you sent this, I was like, what? I want everything for $20. Just give it all to me.
Like,
what year are these prices from? 1970? This is, it's wild. Honestly, the thing that's expensive here that wouldn't have been expensive in 1970 or whatever the hell is bottled water. It's $2.
Right.
Which is hilarious when you think about the fact that, like, pulled pork's a barbecue pork sandwich is $3. What?
Yeah.
Wild. Dan, what are you going for here? $20.
So, yeah, what you got? With $20, trying to figure out what's going to get me through the day at Augusta National. And so they've got a breakfast menu. So I'm starting off in the morning, starting with the Masters blend fresh brewed coffee for $2 and a breakfast sandwich for $3. Beautiful start to the day. Doesn't get any better than that. So that takes me to $5. And then, you know, as we go through the day around lunchtime, sandwiches sound good, man. And, you know, if anybody knows me, they know how much I love pimento cheese and won't have it north of the Mason-Dixon line. It's got to be some damn good pimento cheese down in Augusta, Georgia. So give me a pimento cheese Sammy and a pork barbecue sandwich. That's a total of $4.50 with those two sandwiches. That's absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. Pair that with the Crow's Nest beer for $5. And I was like, what's the Crow's Nest beer? Crow's Nest is something at the country club, but it's a proprietary blended beer brewed exclusively for the Masters, not even available during regular club season. If they said it's light, refreshing, tastes good. Nobody knows what it is. Nobody knows the recipe. So throw in a $5 Crow's Nest beer. It comes with a cool green cup as well. And then day's getting along, probably getting a little hot down there. Throw in a fresh brewed iced tea just to cool things off in the afternoon. $2 fresh brewed iced tea. And then this last item on the menu really locks me in. Georgia peach ice cream sandwich. Let's go. $2.50. Are you kidding me? Topping the day off with that. Didi, that's $19. I can't get to 20. There's nothing with a dollar on the menu. I'm fine walking away with that dollar with that incredible day coffee, breakfast sandwich, pimento cheese sandwich, pork barbecue sandwich, crow's nest beer, iced tea, and a Georgia peach ice cream sandwich. $19. I'm ready. I'm ready to go to Augusta.
Dude, I'm so close with you on this. Because
okay.
All right, so I saw the breakfast sandwich, but then I was like, wait, I'm at the Masters. I'm going to be drinking a lot. So I'm starting the day off. We got the barbecue pulled pork. I'm assuming it's okay. Pulled pork or whatever, yeah. Just a piece of pork. I have no idea.
Sure.
All right, so that's $3. And then I'm like, what's a chicken sandwich taste like at the Masters? I need to find that out. So there's those. And then I'm like, alcohol. Definitely getting the crow's nest because it's obviously special to the Masters. So I'm getting that. But then I was like, what wine are they serving at the Masters? I love wine. I need to know. I'm at the freaking Masters. That has to be some bougie ass wine. I want to stick my pinky up a little bit at the Masters. You know what I'm saying? I'm at the Masters. Right. So I'm definitely drinking some wine there too. Just tasting it all. Right. And then, then right before I am going to definitely have the Georgia peach ice cream sandwich. 100%. Definitely going to have that. That was one thing that I was like, I mean, come on, got to do that. And then that's 1950. And I'm like, how do I get to $20? I don't know. I can't. I guess I just give them 50 cents so as a tip.
Yeah.
That's it. So, yeah, that's what I got. Pork sandwich, chicken sandwich, wine, the beer, and then I've got the ice cream sandwich. 1950. All of that. 1950. What are we doing?
God. It's incredible. It's an incredible value for just $20 at Augusta.
Well, shouts to the Masters for one other thing too, Daniel. The winner of the Masters gets to pick the menu for, is it the winner's banquet or something like that? The next year?
Yeah, all the former Masters winners. When you win the Masters, you get to play in that tournament for life. Basically, everybody else has to qualify one way, shape, or form. So all the former Masters winners come back, and it's, I can't remember which night of the week it is, Wednesday, Thursday, I don't know, where they all get together, have dinner with the green jackets on, and the winner from last year gets to pick everything about that dinner. Very cool tradition.
Yes, very cool tradition. And Dan, what would you have as your winner's dinner for the Masters? Because this is opens up all the possibilities.
It really does. It really does. And the winners really make it catered to them, what they like, what's about them. John Rahm from Spain won last year. So the dinner this year was very Spanish, right? A lot of different things, Spanish wine even. So for me, this is all about me. It's all about Steel City, the winner last year, the green jacket. Okay. So we're starting off with some appetizers. Okay. You're going to get a lobster bisque, and then you're going to get, we just touched on how much I love pimento cheese. So, you may have not seen these before, but I'm sure you can envision what they would be like. They're pimento cheese balls, but they're bacon in them too. So pimento cheese and bacon ball bites. And then we're going to have some fried buffalo chicken dip bites.
Okay.
Yeah. And mini corn dogs. And that's what we're starting off with the appetizers. Just kind of passing it around. Grab as many as you like of each. We're going to pair that with a nice, clean lager from Golden Age Brewing. Or even a Pacifico. I'm thinking maybe Pacifico is the way we start things off with the appetizers. And I have a cocktail pairing. If you don't want to go beer, the cocktail pairing, we're going with a Mai Tai. We're going with a Mai Tai to start things off. Okay. Refreshing, a little bit light, a lot of flavor there. It's going to really go with a lot of the different things in the appetizer menu. Okay. Then we get to the main course. Didi, this is where it was probably the most difficult for me because I'm either going Italian or I'm going barbecue. And I really had a really difficult decision which way to go. I ended up going barbecue. Okay. We're in the South. Respect to the South and their barbecue. So we're going smoked brisket, smoked mac and cheese, Mexican street corn salad, which if you've never had before, is phenomenal, and my wife makes a amazing batch of it. And cornbread from Boston Market. Maybe.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully. Cornbread. So you got a well-balanced full meal there. We're going to pair that with a nice hazy IPA, right? Or the cocktail is a grilled pineapple margarita.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We're not messing around here. We're not messing around here. And then for dessert, we're going to go with a peanut butter chocolate cheesecake, and we're going to pair that with a peanut butter chocolate old fashioned, which from Battalion, shouts to them. I get that recipe right on their website. It's phenomenal. Or from Hitchhiker, one of my favorite beers they've ever made, called the Limited Blend. It's a peanut butter coffee, peanut butter chocolate coffee stout from Hitchhiker, and that's going to pair beautifully with that peanut butter chocolate cheesecake. So you're going to go home full, very pleased from my Masters Champions dinner, Didi.
My friend, that was beautiful. That was a lot.
Thank you.
Because mine was very simple. Because all I was thinking about was, how can I shake things up?
Okay, I like
at the
it.
At the Masters dinner. And I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make it the most expensive hibachi experience they could possibly have. I want to bring in the tables. I want the show. I want it all. I want every bit of it. Because depending on who you are, you either love hibachi or you hate the hibachi experience. And I'm talking about the Benihana hibachi experience. I'm not talking about going to a hibachi restaurant. They don't do it in front of you. You're just eating the food. No.
Right.
I want everybody leaving that place. I want every green jacket smelling like hibachi. I want people to be like, this was the most amazing dinner ever. And I want people to be like, this guy can't win the Masters ever again. We can't have it. We need to put somewhere in the Masters bylaws that we can't, that you can do anything for the winner's dinner except hibachi. That's what I want. I want all of it. And I want it to be like the best cuts of meat. I want it to be like Wagyu steaks. I want it to be the best, ooh, whatever you have. I want it to be the best of whatever. And that's what I want made. And I was like, that would be incredible to do that with just like an unlimited budget, because it's the Masters, I assume. So you're just like, let's bring in the best freaking chefs. Let's bring in the best meat. Let's bring in the best everything and just have a freaking ball. At least half the room will have a ball. And then all go, you know, send off our green jackets to get, you know, cleaned. Because they'll all smell like hibachi. Or don't clean it. If you love the smell of hibachi, you wear it the next year, you know? Because I don't know how much you wear your green jacket, you know? So maybe you just put it in the closet, bring it out, and you're like, whoo, smells like hibachi from last year. But that's what I want for the winner's dinner. Hibachi,
the whole,
baby.
The, you know, everybody sees your name at the top of the leaderboard Saturday night after round three. You're like, we cannot let that son of a bitch make us eat hibachi again. Let's get out there tomorrow, boys. That dry cleaning bill was expensive. Come on.
Oh my God. That'd be hilarious.
I love that.
Dude, that would be hilarious. Just everyone's just like disgust. Like, just so many people are just so mad. Like, oh yeah, man. Like, the only person that's happy is like Bubba Watson. He's amped. I have to just guess. Bubba Watson likes himself some hibachi. There, no doubt. Bubba
Dudley,
likes
it. We're doing hibachi again this year. I can't wait. Wednesday night. Like,
Bubba sees me in the lead and he's like, you know what? I don't need to win this thing. He's got it.
Right.
He's got it.
Yeah. I don't want to deal with that menu next year. He's got it figured out. I know what he's bringing to the table and I'm happy with it. So he can take it. Take him another jacket.
Oh, God. That would be awesome. Oh, yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. I love that. Yeah. Shaking it up. Shaking it up.
Shaking it up. Shaking it up. Just like, nah, get these tables out of here.
Yeah.
Bring it all. Bring hibachi to the Masters. Let's go. All right. So, no doubt, like I mentioned earlier, they reunited last night at Coachella. And I didn't know what to expect, because I got to be honest, last year, whenever Blink-182 reunited, it looked like they had played the night before and were like, let's go play Coachella. Because listen, it was great. It was cool. But there's only three of them. It's like, you know, they know the songs that they were playing. The set was like 50 minutes, I think, or something like that. So you just got the nostalgia kick. It wasn't like there was no filler. It was just like bam, bam, bam. And it was like fun to see them up there for the first time in like a really long time. So I was thinking, all right, this is how the No Doubts thing is going to be. No, sir. No, sir. It was not. They have been working, my friend. Gwen Stefani's 54 years old. And usually when people do the whole, like, I'm going to dress like I did in the time that our band was famous, right, it's really corny. Nope.
Right.
You couldn't have told me that was any different than her in 2004 or 1999 or whatever it was that she was up there. And it was awesome. Her voice sounded awesome. The band sounded awesome. Everything about it, the show of itself was so perfectly done. It was like, you guys are about to go on tour. Like, she said they weren't, but that was a lie. Like, I know that was a lie to make this seem more special, but like in a couple weeks, they're going to announce a huge like international tour. It's going to be crazy because everything was good. It was like an hour 20 set. And I was like, that's it. Like, take the money. I'll do this.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. And so, did you see it, Dan? Did you watch any of it or no?
I did. I did see quite a bit of it. Saturday was the day I was most worried about watching a lot of, because watched some Friday and I was like, you know what? I'm fine. There's some underwhelming, some really good, but some it balanced. Saturday just got worse and worse. I tried to keep myself as busy as possible because it was a rough lineup. I mean, Grimes was there, No Doubt was there. So yeah, that No Doubt performance was unreal.
Yeah, it was. It just blew. It was insane. It was unbelievable. So
yeah.
Now I need to know, what bands or groups or artists do we need to make a comeback? Who do we need? And
yeah,
I'm gonna start with one. Okay. Younger here. I'm going relatively new, but all of them are doing separate things. But I need it to end. I need my group, Danity Kane, to get back together. Okay. I think the last time Danity Kane put out music was like 2009, 2010. I looked this up, but you know, they're all, you know, doing different things, reality shows, parenting, I don't know, car sales. I have no idea. Like, who knows? All I know is it's time to all get back together, guys. It's time. Let's all get back together. Let's make this happen. I need Danity Kane back together for like one more tour. I don't know what kind of venues we're looking at. I don't know how many people want this other than me, but I need it. I need it.
Yeah. I like that one. I like that one a lot. That's got me thinking of some other ones that I wasn't originally thinking of. One of the first that came to mind for me is it's been quite some time. And same thing, doing things on their own. Some would say successfully. Some would say, what have you guys been up to? Outkast.
Yeah.
Outkast hasn't played together since 2014.
Yeah.
And during that time, I mean, they were putting out some absolutely incredible music together. And I don't know if we'll ever see them get back together again. You would like to think and hope, at least for give me a Coachella performance if you're not going to give us a tour. But Outkast, they still got the hits, man. And I know there's more. I know they both have more in the tank to give to us.
Yeah,
that would be perfect.
You know, it's just out. Like, it's like, all right, Andre, you can play the flute. We'll tell them we can play the flute on tour. They can.
Sure. Yeah.
You played on tour?
You can each have 10 minutes doing your solo stuff.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
Do it. Play the flute. Do whatever.
Yes.
Can make it work.
Oh, man. You know, I need a Bow Wow comeback.
Wow.
I need a Bow Wow comeback. I don't know how we pull this off, but I need it. We need it. And here's why. Bow Wow was a really big deal. He was a huge child star. And when people talk about child stars, they never bring up Bow Wow. Huge child star. Mm-hmm. Huge hits. Like, just big deal. And then it just, like, went away because he never really grew. So then it kind of was just like, you know, there's this little Bow Wow. He's still little. And now he's going to talk about like things being rough in his life when we've known him since he was like 10. and he's been famous in movies and things. So, like, it's hard to be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be hard street rapper now when we've seen you grow up, right? It's kind of hard right. to do that, right? But
right.
I need that back in my life. I need the full-on Bow Wow comeback. I need it. I need somebody okay. to start the campaign and to get this done because we need Bow Wow back in our lives.
I love it.
We do. I need it.
I love it. This group, known more for their name and one particular song that they released in conjunction with a movie, but they released some of my favorite kind of alternative pop music in a brief era, and it's just so much fun, so entertaining, and they are coming back for the When We Were Young festival later this year, okay? But they have vehemently repeated it is literally a one-time performance. They are not coming back. They all are in other bands, doing other things. They're not releasing new music. That's not good enough for me, folks. Cobra Starship, get it together. I need you. Gabe, listen up. Quit messing around. Let's get the gang back together. I know you've got other stuff going on. I'm glad you're back playing music and not just producing. But Cobra Starship's where's that, man? I need to complete the comeback. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Didn't see that one coming.
I did not see that one coming, but I'm sure you didn't see mine coming. All right. This one's a little touchy. Okay. I was gonna lead off with this, but I felt like, you know, let's give some people some joy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Linkin Park. Listen. I understand Chester is gone.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they need to do a Queen type situation. Find a Chester, find a guy to replace it, and we can be on and cooking again. Because Mike Shinoda is still active.
Yeah.
He's still doing things. I'm like, why not? Because this would be the time for them to really be like, you know, getting that nostalgia kick, reaping those rewards and all of that from like the early 2000s and late 90s and all that stuff too. And I just feel like we can still do that. We just got to find the right person to get in there, do the Chester parts, and, you know, and be ready to go. Because it's sad to me to think that like that music won't be like played live anymore. You know what I'm saying? And I just feel like we need that comeback. And watching No Doubt, that really made me think of, like, who are these bands that, like, will be next year's No Doubt? Because this happens at every, you know, this happens at every festival, especially Coachella. They love bringing back the bands that were there when it started and all this stuff. Like
mm-hmm.
that. Love doing that. And I'm just, like, thinking about those bands that will be the next one. Who will be there next year? Who will be there next year? And I'm like, Linkin Park is one of those bands that I'm like, okay, we need that special performance on the Coachella stage. With Linkin Park coming back together in some way, like do it. Pull a Queen with Adam Lambert, make this happen.
Dude, I had them on my list too because of the same reasons. I know they've been struggling with what to do with the future of Linkin Park. They've released a couple, even recently in the past couple of weeks, released some tracks that they had some old recordings for, putting it together, putting it out there for people. And it's very sad that a band that continued to gain in popularity when they released Minutes to Midnight, they kind of took them on a bit of a different journey and they were adapting and getting better. And the music was great. And it's sad to think that somebody as talented as Mike Shinoda, he's going to continue to release music under his name. And it's good music. It's not Linkin Park.
No.
Right? It's not Linkin Park. And it's sad to think that we won't hear any of the old Linkin Park, that there can't be new Linkin Park written potentially if they don't figure out a way to do this. I'm sure it's difficult, but I am 100% with you. They're too young, too early in their career still for us to never hear from Linkin Park again.
Yeah.
I don't know if My Chemical Romance. Let me just say this.
Okay.
They came back. They went on this massive tour. They released one new song. Like, I'd have almost rather them not release new music at all and just come back and play the hits. Don't tease me to think that we're getting an album or something and more new music. That was like 3 or 4 years ago. And we've heard nothing. And I know they've been touring.
Yeah.
That tour got postponed. Little pandemic postponed that damn thing. We got to see them live. Incredible. I need more. This can't be a one time where we're just going to do a run around the bases. You guys are too damn good. I need you to come out with new music. I need that to happen. Oasis, Boyce, Gallagher Brothers, get back together.
Yo, right.
That's it. There's your Coachella memory right there. That's a festival band. That's one of the greatest festival bands of all time. They should be for one more trip around, because not likely to happen.
I would love for them to try just to hear all the stories that come out of it, because
sure,
it would never happen. It will never happen. Oh. Oh god, that's great. All right, so a band that I'm pretty sure we all loved in 2012, 2013 time, I think. I think that's my timeline. Maybe 2011. I don't know. 12. Yeah. Fun. The band Fun.
Oh.
Like, guys.
Great call.
Guys. One album. And it's one of the best albums ever made. And that's it. And that's literally it. I'm still blown away by that. That's it. And I've even had a conversation with the drummer of Fun, because he was a friend of a friend, and we were at a party together at one point. And I just was like, wait, you're the drummer for Fun? Like, Fun? And he's like, oh, yeah. And I was like, so is it, are you guys ever going to do anything again? And he's like, I mean, it's not up to me. I was like, where'd you guys see us? And I was like, oh, Pittsburgh. It was last week. That was like the indoor outdoor situation, blah, blah, blah. Like, remember, whatever. And I was like, oh yeah, like, show was awesome. It was incredible. Like, what? Like, that, are you like, Nate, what are we doing? Like, like, Fun. I want Fun back. And then my last one, Ludacris? Can we get a Ludacris renaissance here? Like, Ludacris'
yeah,
last album.
Not just on TV commercials, like,
yeah,
actual,
like,
music.
You know, like, Ludacris' last album came out in 2015, which I don't remember. It's called Ludiversal. I can tell you why that didn't work out. But when people talk about, like, popular artists from the 2000s, and like from the 2000s, Ludacris' name isn't mentioned a lot. And I get very annoyed by that, because Ludacris was as big and as popular and as fun to just everything was Ludacris. And so, yeah, I want the Ludacris renaissance, the way that, like, T-Pain's kind of having a little bit of a renaissance here, like putting out these,
sure, yeah,
you know, on the Tiny Desk, doing like different things, like, it's just, you know, put out the covers album, which is really good. Like, just, I need Ludacris to, like, you know, keep doing the Fast and Furious movies. Of course, I'm your number one fan, but I need you and your team to get together and figure this music thing out. Because, like, I don't need the greatest of new music. I just need people to know how good Ludacris was, and need that Ludacris comeback renaissance. Need it,
yeah,
back.
Remind everybody. Teach the young folk.
Yeah.
What you were. How,
yes,
great.
What
how
we
great
need.
You are.
Yes.
Man. I still can't get over the Fun pick. How did I not think of that? I mean,
dude.
Yeah, Nate, Jack.
What do we?
Bleachers is you had your success. It's time.
Like, actually, time. You know what? Here's who we should tell. Travis Kelce. I know you listen. I know you listen. When you're around Jack, I need you to just throw out some fun things. Say something about fun. Come on.
Yeah.
Do it for us. Do it for us.
Honestly.
Like, when you Taylor are in bed, just mention fun, so then maybe she'll mention fun.
Yes.
And then something. Come on.
Be like, because Fun was like an all-star band, right? They took everybody was in another band. They put them together. So Travis just has to be like, you know, winning the Super Bowl is great, but you know where I have the most fun? And that's at the Pro Bowl with all the all-stars, all the GOATs coming together. That's the most fun.
That's it right there. It's like we had fun when we were just walking through Italy and stuff, but I had just as much fun as when we got sushi in this hole in the wall in LA. Was that fun, Taylor?
Yes.
Yeah. Have you had that much fun, Jack? Just start throwing fun in everything you say.
Sneak it in, Travi. Come on.
We need you. We need you, Travis. You can bring fun back together. Screw, I don't care if you get married. I don't care. No. Live your life. I care about you getting fun back together.
Oh, wow. I have no idea, but I love it.
God. And another girl group, because this just hit me. Fifth Harmony. Guys, stop doing all the solo stuff.
Go.
We're done here. Normani, Camilla, it's not working. Let's just get it going. Come on. Come on, guys. Come on. We tried it.
Bury
I get
the hatchet.
It.
Yeah.
Figure it
Bury
out.
The hatchets. Come on.
Come on. We're done here. Like, we're done. We've done this for a few years. It's time. It's time to get to work.
Yeah.
Work.
Rally
work
the troops. Let's work, go. Work, yes. Yeah. Hey. Work. I love it.
Well, that's all the bands and groups that we want to get back together. Will we get any of them? Who knows? I hope so. Let us know at Brunch Breakdown who you want to get back together. Yeah, we'll find out Chris's next week. We'll make sure he lets us know.
Oh, they're all pop punk bands from the early 2000s.
True.
Play
but
the
which
money on
ones? Which
but
ones?
Which ones?
Yeah. Which ones?
Stay tuned.
Oh, God. All right. Well, let's hold this, because we'll hold this with Chris, because there will be more stuff that comes out with Shohei Ohtani. And
yeah, that's a never-ending story.
That's a never-ending story.
Sure,
so
more will develop. Yeah.
So let's get into music and what we're listening to this week. Dan, what you listening to this week, sir?
My man, Gus Dapperton,
hey.
Back with some single solo music again, and his new song, What You Won't Do for Love. Love his style. Love his voice. All his music, it's dynamic. It's smart. And I'm really excited for more Gus Dapperton in 2024. And What You Won't Do for Love is the latest, so check it out.
Nice. Song of the Summer alert. Dan, I don't know how happy you'll be if this is the song of the summer, but get nervous. The breakout star from Beyonce's country album, it's a country rapper by the name of Shaboozey. He did what no one else who's featured on Beyonce's album did, and actually released music in the time when everybody's talking about him. And oh, did he? He released a song called A Bar Song, in parentheses, Tipsy, because it samples Jaquan's Tipsy.
Ooh.
And the chorus, and I'm telling you, Dan, when you listen to this,
okay,
please get to the chorus before you say if you hate it. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
That's
just
fair.
Get to the chorus.
Okay,
because it's great the way that if you're going to sample a song and you want to do it not in the most obvious way, like a Bebe Rexha song, this is the way you do it. This is the way that you do it. It's impressive. I like it so much. And shouts to Jaquan, because he's going to definitely get some money off of this. I don't know what Jaquan's up to these days, but hey, shouts to you. But Shaboozey, A Bar Song. It's got Song of the Summer written all over it. That's okay. All I'm saying.
I'll give you that chance.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, BB Rex has got a better chance of putting out a song in the summer. I'll tell you that right now. You throw the BB Rex shade around here. Come on.
She's playing. Yeah. And we're recording this on Sunday. She's playing Coachella probably like in like 2 hours, I think. So there's that.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be amazing.
Yeah.
Alice Merton released a song called Pick Me Up. And you might remember the name from her hit No Roots a couple years ago. Yeah. And she her most recent single before this, actually, Runaway Girl, is gaining in popularity. It's one of her best songs. And so I wondered if this was just one great song. But no. The new one, Pick Me Up. It's catchy. It's a little dancey, which is kind of odd for Alice Merton, kind of more in the alternative field. But I enjoy it a lot and hope you will too. So Pick Me Up, Alice Merton.
Nice. And then also another possible song of the summer, maybe song of the spring alert, Glorilla and Megan Thee Stallion, Wannabe. This song's incredible. It's just everything you need. You want to get on the floor and just freaking dance, and it's awesome, and it's just the perfect hip-hop song. It is fun. It is two of my favorite female rappers for sure, and yeah, so check it out. Glorilla and Megan Thee Stallion, Wannabe. It's, you know, it's starting to feel like we're gonna have a better song of the summer than we did last year. It's coming.
Boy, I hope so.
I can feel it. People are trying. I can feel it.
Yeah. Thank goodness. Okay. Last one for me is from a band called Royal Otis. And I'll be honest with you. I haven't liked most of anything that this band has released. Okay. They're an up and coming group. But I recently heard a cover that they did of Murder on the Dance Floor from Sophie Ellis Bextor, a 20 some year old song. And I really dig it. I really dig this cover, which again took me a little bit out of left field because I don't really dig the original stuff from Royal Otis, but the Murder Me on the Dance Floor cover that they do, good enough for the playlist this week.
Nice. Good enough. I think that might be the first good enough for the playlist this week that we've ever had.
That's true.
Usually this song's great. This song's interesting. Maybe yes. It's the worst song I've ever heard. We've never had good enough.
Good enough. Good enough for the playlist.
It hit that line. It was good enough. Okay. Good enough. And the last one I'm going to put on the playlist is a song that may be out by the time you put the playlist, but I'm not sure if it's going to be out or not. Drake put out a diss track dissing everybody who's been dissing him lately, whether it's Kendrick Lamar, Rick Ross,
long.
Future, Metro Boomin. The list is long. The Weeknd, and it is awesome. It is called, as at the time I'm saying this, it's called Drop and Give Me 50. Might change to a different title, but it's not on streaming services. He put it out in just to the universe yesterday, and it is awesome. So whatever him and Kendrick are fighting over, it's gonna keep on going, and the NBA playoffs are about to start, and it's gonna be even more fun. So I'm going to be loving all of this, because honestly, this rap beef will not end in anyone dying, anyone getting beat up, anyone getting anything. It's literally two late 30s dudes fighting. I don't know. It's hilarious. Like Drake's got all these short jokes. Like Kendrick's got jokes with Drake. It's funny. I'm like, this is a funny thing. We'll see where it goes. But right now I'm just like, these are just two dudes in their, you know, late 30s who know they're not going to fight each other. Just, you know, ripping each other. Mm-hmm. It's like two PTA. It's like two people who want to lead the PTA at a debate. It's what it is. And I'm here for it. And I'm here for it. So song is called, that is my third song. If it's not on the playlist, I'll give you something else. But yeah, that's what I got. And oh wait, Chris isn't here. So Olivia O'Brien put out a new song called Blip. It is a nice, sad Olivia O'Brien banger, and it's really good. I'm a big fan of this song. It is it's a ballad by Olivia O'Brien. I really like it. So
okay. It would definitely be on Chris's list.
Yes.
So well suited.
There it is.
Nice.
I like avoided it because I was like, Chris is gonna definitely say that, regardless if he listened to it or not.
Yeah.
But he's not here. So there you go. Blip, Olivia Perfect. O'Brien. Well, Perfect. Dan, everybody, that is what we are listening to. Make sure you check out the Sounds of Brunch playlist on Spotify. Tell Siri, tell Alexa to play the Sounds of Brunch. Dan, final thoughts on the Brunch Breakdown.
Two please for you. Final thoughts. One, Scottie Scheffler, about to win be the Masters winner. Next year's Masters dinner, sponsored by Boston Market. Lock in the order now. Save the franchise. Two, Travis Kelce, we need you to save fun. Those are my pleas.
Hashtag save fun. Hashtag save Boston Market. Hashtag what's the Brunch Breakdown? We're out.